Okay, next question, number 11. What does Islam teach regarding the subject of our relationship with Jews and Christians? It tells us in the Quran, O you who believe, do not take the Jews and Christians as awliya, which is the plural of the word wali, or don't take them as bitana. Now let's break that down by referring to the Quran to understand the meaning. Let me read to you something here from the Quran talking about the word bitana and then the word awliya. In the English translation of the Quran by Muhammad Muhsin Khan and Dr. Muhammad Hilali, we find the word bitana used only once, and the word awliya is found 31 times. So I'll begin with the verse containing the word bitana. It says in the English translation of the Noble Quran, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O you who believe, do not take as your bitana advisors, consultants, protectors, helpers, friends, etc., those who are outside of your faith or religion, meaning pagans, Jews, Christians, and hypocrites, since they're not going to fail to do their best to corrupt you. They desire to harm you severely. Hatred has already appeared from their mouths, but what their breasts conceal is far worse. Indeed, Allah has made plain to you these proofs, evidence, and verses, if you understand. Now, the word awliya is used, as we said, 31 times. This is the plural form of the word wali. And according to the translation of the various uses of the word awliya in the Quran, it appears the meaning varies depending on the application. Some of the meanings could be advisors, consultants, protectors, helpers, supporters, friends, etc. And the word awliya in the Quran is having its first appearance in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2, or the Kaf. This word is used in different ways, as we've already mentioned. The guardians, awliya, masters, etc. It's been used to refer to both good and bad. And as we can see in the first instance, when it appears in Surah Baqarah, and it comes in the form of wali, and then it comes in the form of awliya in the same verse. And it says that Allah is the wali, the protector or guardian of those who believe. He brings them out of darkness into light. But as for those who disbelieve, their awliya, their supporters and helpers, are tagut, which means false deities, false gods, false leaders, and they bring them out of light and take them into darkness. Those are the dwellers of the fire of hell, and they will abide therein forever. So we find that the first appearance of the word in the singular form is in the same verse as the plural form, Ali, or Wali, and also Awliya. Other verses where you'll find the same thing is in chapter 3, verse 28. Let not the believers take the disbelievers as awliya instead of the believers. Whoever does that will never be helped by Allah in any way, except if you indeed fear a danger from them. And Allah warns you against Himself as punishment, and to Allah as the final return. In the next occurrence is in verse 175, same surah, chapter 3, Al Imran. It is only shaitan that suggests you to fear of his awliya. These are supporters and friends, polytheists, disbelievers in the oneness of Allah and his messenger and Muhammad s.a.w. So don't fear them, but fear Allah if you are true believers. Then in the next occurrence, chapter 4, verse 25, whoever of you have not the means wherewith to wed free believing women, then you can get married to believing girls from among those captives or servants from your right hands possess, and Allah has full knowledge about your faith. You are one from another. Wed them with permission of their own awliya or guardians or masters, and give them their mahar according to what is reasonable. They, meaning the above servant girls, should be chaste and not adulterous, not taking boyfriends, and after they have been taken in wedlock. If they commit illegal sexual intercourse, then their punishment would be half of that of a free woman. This is for the one among you who is afraid of being harmed in his religion or his body. but it's better for you that you practice self-restraint. Allah is all-forgiving, most merciful. This is a rather large and involved subject here, but the reason we bring it up is to show that the word is also used to mean the owner of slaves are called awliya. So protectors, guardians, and even masters can be used for this word. So you have to understand it in the context that it's used, and if you want more about this, then I suggest you look into the Quran in verse 89 in chapter 4, verse 139 in chapter 4, verse 144 in chapter 4. Then in chapter 5, Al-Ma'idah, verse 51, verse 57, verse 80, verse 81, and then in Al-An'am, which is chapter 6, verse 128, 129, then in Surah Al-A'raf, that's chapter 7, verse 3, again in 27, verse 27, verse 30. Then in Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, you'll find that in verse 23, verse 71. In Surah Yunus, which is chapter 10, you'll find it in verse 62. And then in Surah Ra'ad, which is chapter 13, you'll find it in verse number 16. And then in Surah Isra, that's chapter 17, verse 97. Surah Kahf, the cave, chapter 18, verse 102. Surah Al-Furqan, that's chapter 25, verse 18. Surah Ankabut, the spider, that's in chapter 29, verse 41. Az-Zumar, which is chapter 39, verse 3. Ashura, which is chapter 42, verse 6. And again in verse 9. Again in verse 46. And then in Surah Al-Jathiyah, this is chapter 45, verse 10, verse 19, the same surah, 45. Then in Surah Al-Ahqaf, which is chapter 46, verse 32. Now, I read through those pretty fast, but you can refer to those yourself, and then read it in the context that it's intended, what it means. Obviously, it is clear from this that we do not take as awliya those who shouldn't fulfill that role. We don't take partners with Allah. When we're talking about Allah, we don't take any partners. We don't turn to something or someone that Allah created and ask them instead of asking Allah, because that will take us from the light of truth into the darkness of falsehood. Also, that we wouldn't take someone in favor of our, for instance, parents. Our parents are guardians. We wouldn't take somebody over them and take their advice when our parents are trying to give us good advice. We wouldn't take, another example would be those who are our close relatives and friends, and the believers. We wouldn't take in place of them those who are not our real friends or real relatives. We wouldn't substitute the wrong one for the particular role. It's as simple as that. Inshallah. And this is correct. Now, I'm going to tell you why. It doesn't mean that we don't have good social relations with them whatsoever. Absolutely not. We must have good social relationship with everybody. This is part of being a Muslim. To be honest, to be fair, but don't put them in charge or authority over your children, for instance. Because what will they do? They will try to corrupt the child to believe their way. We just talk about Trinity. Can you imagine somebody trying to teach your child that God is three? Would you do that? No. Then why would you put your children in a public school where people are doing that? So you are not following what Allah ordered you to do. The minute you break this, then you're going to understand when your child, and it happened right here in Texas, one of the top doctors in his particular field in a part of Texas, sent for me to go down and talk to his two children. Now, his children were like these little guys here, used to go to the masjid on the weekend, everything, reading Quran and participating along with other kids. But now they're in the university, the girl being older than the boy, and they come to find out they became atheists. Why? The daughter is living with an atheist guy on campus there or something, you know? And when the younger brother comes, she takes him in and convinces him that this is okay because there isn't any God. And how did this happen? This happens because on the weekend there's not enough time and a few hours to make up for the many hours during the week that you got them watching television, going into public schools, hanging out with people that don't have the right kind of beliefs, and then it becomes easy to fall into this trap. So there's an example right there of don't take these people in those kind of positions. You don't put somebody in that kind of position. I just left a country, by the way, where they have somebody who's responsible for the diplomacy club in the university. But he's not Muslim. And he hates Islam. And he doesn't make it a secret. It's a Muslim country. But he is the first one to attack everything about Islam. And when I came in, my subject is opening bridges between Christians and Muslims. And he told them flat out, I don't like the topic. I don't like this guy. He fought that on every avenue that we tried to work together. He was fighting it. Alhamdulillah, we got to do one of the best programs we ever had. You'll go on the internet and check it out. Go on the internet and check this out. It's under Morocco, so you can guess what country that was. And by the way, when it was over, we forgave him for what he sabotaged the program and actually demanded to know what's all of my credentials because he wants to present them. And I said, I don't allow that. You're not going to walk up here and tell people what my credentials are because they're not in Islam. Therefore, you're not going to call me doctor something and make people think I'm a doctor in Islam. It's not the point. You just introduced me as what it says here. Talk about the work that we do with the United Nations, with the churches and things like that. Talk about that, our radio shows, TV shows. But when I walked on stage, he said, I'm not going to do that. I edited it. Whoa. He said, I'm going to just say this or that. I said, you know what? The only thing you want to talk about is my degrees. He said, that's right. I said, well, I'm not applying for a job here. So you don't need to know that. And I would rather you said a fat guy from Texas is to walk up there and put my degrees. He said, I can do that. And that's exactly what he did. Yep. After 2 days of making up agreement of what's going to be said and how I'll be introduced and all the rest of it, he threw it all out and walked over to the, you can listen to it online, I saved it. And he said, oh, I just talked to the man, he said he'd rather be introduced as a fat guy from the United States. I said, Texas, but that's how he interpreted it. He said, so here's a fat guy from the United States, that's what he said. That it was his words. You imagine that? Pretty nice, huh? But we're opening bridges, so you know what? We said, okay, thank you. And we went ahead and did a program. When it was over, there was standing ovation, people clapping and cheering and going crazy. We don't clap in Islam, by the way, but I enjoyed it anyway. Because, not for me, but because he sat there going, wow, what happened? You had a great program. And we forgive him, by the way. We totally forgive him, because he doesn't know. May Allah guide him. It means that we don't take them to be the protectors for us. Muslims are responsible to protect themselves and other people. We're the ones that should be to them the protectors. Because we know, you know, if you know traffic, for instance, is dangerous, and here's a person who doesn't understand that, don't you have the responsibility to keep them from getting run over by a truck? Even if they're fighting you and saying, I want to run out here. No, 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 no. You can't do that. You don't let children do that. Somebody that's mentally incapacitated, he's not really all there, and he's trying to get out in this traffic. You're responsible. You have to stop him, right? So can you take those kind of people to be responsible for you and your children? No, I don't think so. And this is, I'll ask Allah forgive me if I'm saying it the wrong way, but this is how I understand that. I might be wrong.